Morning. We're grateful that you were able to come together and worship the Lord of heaven. Good to see Sister Sherry out. We're thankful she's able to be here. She wanted to thank everybody for the cards and calls and prayers, and we're so delighted she's able to be with us this morning. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And while you're getting your Bible and getting settled, if you're visiting and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. We'd encourage you to get your Bible with an open mind and study the things we have to say. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. But if you find the truth has been taught, it's our prayer that as we stand and sing, if you've never put on Christ in baptism, that you would do so this very morning. Having your sins washed away by the blood of Christ, being added to the family of God, and enjoying every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. Or if you've left Christ and you need to be restored, we pray that you would make your life right this very morning. When you turn to the epistle that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to read one verse for the thought of our study, and that's in verse 10. He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." At this particular time, you'll find Paul penning this letter to the church at Corinth. You'll go back and notice that in verse 2, he declared unto them that they were saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he turned to the fact that he preached the gospel to them with apostolic authority, that he came as one with authority from God. Then lest they misunderstand and accuse him of bragging, Paul comes down in verse 10 and said, "I want you to understand one thing. I am what I am by the grace of God. That there's nothing that I have done that is mighty, but all that I have done and all that it is glory is goes to the God of heaven, that I am what I am by God's grace." And you know, I think in that statement there are several wonderful lessons. I'd like for us to look back at the Apostle Paul and notice several things about this man. The first thing I'd like for us to do is to observe what he was before he became a Christian. Just exactly what was Paul before he became a child of God? And if you take your Bible, you'll find that he was a religious man. Look back in the book of Acts and the 26th chapter. And when you look in Acts chapter 26, notice with me, if you will, what is said in verse 25. In Acts 26, in verse 25, Paul is writing. And notice that Paul is standing before Festus. And notice what Festus said to him. "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." Here is a man that was educated. And I want you to note back in verse 5 of Acts 26, not only is he educated, they were looking at this man because he was of the strictest sect of our religion, a Pharisee. He was a religious man who was educated in the law. He was a man that knew the law of God. He knew the old covenant. And so he was a very religious man, a Pharisee, a conservative man of the strictest sect, and he knew the law. He was educated in the law. But then secondly, if you have your Bible in the book of Acts and the 22nd chapter, notice if you will again verse 3. In Acts 22, in verse 3, notice, if you will, that Paul said, "I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today." Notice a second thing about that man. Not only was he religious, not only was he of the strictest sect of the Pharisees, according to the law, but notice in Acts 22 and verse 3, he was zealous. Here was a man who was on fire for what he believed. And so when I look at this man, I see a man who was religious, he was educated, and he was zealous. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to take note that he said he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. That shows just how much knowledge he had about the law of Moses. But then if you take your Bible and look in the book of Acts and the 7th chapter and the 8th chapter, even down to Acts 9:1, you'll find that he persecuted Christians. This man looked at Christians as those that were leading people away from the law of Moses. And he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. He did not believe Jesus was the Christ. And thus, this educated man in the law of Moses said these Christians are leading Jews away from truth. He did not recognize that Jesus was the Christ. And so when you read this man, about this man, you'll find he persecuted the way. Take your Bible for just a moment and look in the book of Acts and the 22nd chapter. And in Acts chapter 22, you remember this man brings to the mind of others, he thought he was doing the will of God. He thought what he was doing was right. In Acts 22 and verse 1, he said, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. And he says to them, as we already read in verse 3, about how he was of the feet of Gamaliel, how he was zealous. And then in verse 4, he said, "I persecuted this way in the death, to the death, binding and delivering into prisons." And so when I look at this man, I see a man that persecuted Christians, but he thought he was doing the right thing. He did it out of ignorance. But then, if you take your Bible, turn with me to 1 Timothy in the first chapter. And when you come to 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice what else this man recognized. This man come to recognize that he was chief of sinners. Look, if you will, at verse 13 beginning. "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy," watch it, "because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." He said, "I thought I was doing right." Then he says in verse 14, "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." Now look at what he says in verse 15. He said that I am the chief of sinners. So this man recognized at one time he was an insolent man. At one time, he blasphemed the way. He said, "That's what I was." But then, notice, secondly, he came to Christ. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul recounts his conversion. And he talks about how he was told by Ananias, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord." Here was a man that though he blasphemed, though he put to death Christians, though he persecuted the way, though he did that which was insolent, that man changed. That man was forgiven. That man, by the grace of God, had his sins pardoned. And I want you to think about, what did he become by the grace of God? We saw what he was, but now what did he become? Now Paul says, "Here's what I am." And now notice the change in this man from what he was to what he is. And one thing's for sure, he is not what he once was. Now he is a Christian. Notice in his speech to the civil power, he said, "I was a Pharisee." He said, "Of the strictest faith." But notice he said, "In past tense, that's what I was." But now he's a disciple of Christ, a Christian. He became the very thing at one time he persecuted and hated. And he said, "I'm a follower of Christ such as I am." Secondly, notice he became a member of the Lord's church. He obeyed the gospel, his sins were forgiven, and God added him to his church. Just like those on the day of Pentecost when they were baptized into Christ in Acts 2, you remember that God added to the church daily those who were being saved. God did the adding. You know, in a lot of places you have to go forward and the church votes you in. I'll tell you, my friend, the church doesn't vote you in. God adds you in when you're baptized into Christ. God's the one who does the adding. And Paul recognized that he became a disciple of Jesus Christ. He died to his old self. He said in Galatians 2:20, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." He was adopted into the family of God. He was born again. But you know what else that man became? Look in your Bible in 1 Corinthians 15 again and notice what he said in verse 11. In verse 11 he said, "Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." He became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He preached that which he once denied. But then if you take your Bible, look again. He was a laborer. He said, "I labored more abundantly." Grace changed that man. Grace changed that man from what he was to what he became. His whole attitude and life changed. Now, that raises a very serious question. How did he make this change? What enabled Paul to change? Well, first of all, we've already brought out the grace of God. And no one can argue this because that's what Paul said in Ephesians 2:8. That one is saved by the grace of God. We are changed. He didn't do it by his own works, but by the grace of God. Secondly, notice, how did he come in contact with God's grace? He was taught the truth of God's Word. He was baptized, and it was God's grace that took away his sin when he was baptized. Not the law of any man, not the law of Moses, which he once followed, but the law of Christ, which is the grace of God. Some are afraid of the grace of God, afraid if we teach it, it will leave the impression one doesn't have to work. Notice Paul was the exact opposite. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God, and I labored more abundantly than they all." Grace should motivate us to want to serve God. God has given us what we do not deserve, but definitely needed. And because God has given us what we needed, He has taken away our sin. We should be His workmanship. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, He says, "We are His workmanship, to be saved to do good works." You remember James said in James 2, "Faith without works is dead." So that brings up something else in our study. Paul was also concerned that he could fall from grace. Have you ever thought that here was a man that was a child of God and yet he feared that he could be one that fell from grace? He recognized that he had to be on guard lest he be disqualified. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look if you will at verse 27, he said, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul recognized he had to continue in the grace of God. Now then, I want to raise several things for us in the lessons here. I want to ask you this morning, what are you? As I'm a miserable preacher, I'm a member of a denomination. My friend, where did the grace of God ever make one that? The grace of God makes you a child of God when you obey the will of God. The grace of God takes away your sin. And my friend, you do not have to be lost. That happens by rejecting the grace of God. When one does not come to God on God's terms and rejects it, but then that brings up a second thing. What were you? Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And notice what some of them were in Corinth. In verse 9, he said, "Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." He said, that's what you were. But look at this. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. They changed. Have you ever looked at that? The people in Corinth had the ability by the grace of God to change. He said, this is what you once were, but you became what? You became saved by the grace of God. And I'll tell you something. If you're redeemed, you will labor more abundantly. By the grace of God, we become heirs of God, as Paul wrote in the Roman letter in the 8th chapter. And we have the inheritance of heaven. And by the matchless grace of God, we have the hope of everlasting life with the Father. And this grace is extended to all. Look at what Paul writes to Titus in Titus chapter 2. When you come to that epistle of Titus, notice he said in verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." It's the grace of God that teaches us how to live now. Look at that. The grace of God brings salvation. And notice it teaches us to deny ungodliness and lust. And we're to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. It changes us. You are what you are. If you're a child of God, by the grace of God. I give God the glory if I'm saved. If I'm a child of God, I recognize it was His Son who paid the price for my salvation. And what I've done is just obeyed His command. And I am what I am by the grace of God. But I'll tell you something, my friend. If you reject the grace of God, you deny the grace of God, then I'll tell you, you can be religious but wrong. You can be zealous but wrong. And I'll tell you, you can be worldly and you can be out in the world and I'll tell you, you're lost. Because you have rejected the amazing grace of God. Paul said, the only reason I am what I am is the grace of God. If you're here this morning and you've rejected the grace of God, our prayer is today you'll accept God's amazing grace and be baptized as together we stand and sing. We cordially invite.
Amen.